You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Let me begin by saying this morning I am indebted to Reverend Patrick Wilson for much of the inspiration for today's message, so I want to give him credit. Parable ends. Are you envious? Because I am generous? The owner of the vineyard asks. You bet we are. You bet we are. We're furious, in fact. What kind of an owner are you? What kind of business are you running here? We know fairness when we see it. And we know unfairness just when we see it. In the same way. We know how economics is supposed to work. We know how ethics are supposed to work. I mean, look, we're not saying here that we don't understand the principle. I mean, everyone needs a job, sure. Everyone needs the chance to put food on the table. Everyone needs the opportunity to provide and to care for their family. But come on, we're being cheated here. The owner was feeling generous. Let him give the people who worked all day, who slaved through the heat of the day, who came in dripping with sweat, let him give them a little bonus or something. That would be fair too, wouldn't it? See, we're capitalists. You get what you work for. We don't reward laziness. We don't reward those who do less with an equal amount of pay as the rest of those who do more. We don't reward taking advantage of the system. We don't reward mooching off of others. It's un-American. It's just not fair. You reap what you sow. That's biblical. You get out of it what you put into it. Or in other words, you don't work, you don't eat. At least that's how it worked at Grandma's house. Jesus tells this story to force us to see the parable in a very specific way. He could very easily have told the story so that the workers who were hired first got paid first. He could have. There would have been no problem there because they would have come through and they would have gotten what they deserved, and the people that came after him or after them who hired later in the day would have gotten others, and no one really would have been the wiser. That's not how he told the story. He's setting us up a little bit. He wants us to see, he wants them to see, those who were hired first, and for us to see, those workers hired at the end of the day, getting paid a full day's labor. He wants our imagination to start working overtime, as theirs did. Ooh, wonder what he's going to give us. Oh man, we've been working hard, we're going to get a bonus. It's only fair, you know. Jesus wants us to hear the parable from the back of the line, not the front of the line. As Patrick Wilson points out, watching and waiting at the back of the line, we begin to see that our issue is greater than just a question of hours worked and equal pay. We see that it is not just equality, not just fairness, but something else we want. If the owner is going to be ridiculously generous, we should like some of that generosity. Are you envious because I am generous? Asks the owner of the vineyard. You bet we are. At the back of the line, we can scarcely avoid the theological protest. Wilson says, why is God not that good to me? Why does God not love me that much? We've experienced it before, right? You know what I'm talking about. That kid for whom everything just comes easy. Right? I mean, like, you've spent all winter working in the batting cage, and you're working on your form, and you're getting your legs right, and you're getting your swing just right, and you've fielded grounder upon grounder upon grounder for hours on end. You know, you've pitched and you've pitched and you've pitched until you can get just the right amount of movement on the curveball, only for some kid to come walk on who's never played for the team, who's really never even played before, who can hit it farther and field it cleaner and pitch it better, and he steals the spot that should have been yours right out from under you. You know what I'm saying? You know that person that stands up in the middle of a business meeting and they just kind of off the cuff give this presentation that's ten times the presentation you had been preparing for a week, and you're just like, dang. Or that person who doesn't study a lick and aces the exam, and you had studied all night and you got a C. Or that person who comes over and just is like, oh, look, you've got some extra stuff laying around the kitchen. Let me just whip up a little appetizer from your leftovers. And then at the party, everybody's like, man, this appetizer is fantastic. And they don't say anything about the meal that you spent all afternoon making. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The person who sits down at the piano and just starts whipping out something by ear, and you're like, that person plays better than me, and I have been studying for years, and I can't stand it. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. Why am I not getting a little recognition here? Why is God not being gracious to me in the same way? It's not fair. Are you envious because I'm generous? Heck yeah! Absolutely! Now see, the other temptation of this parable as we read it, though, is that sometimes we want to name those 11th hour workers. We want to say, yeah, are those people? Who's Jesus talking about here? Is it those people who converted on their deathbed? Man, why would they get heaven? And I've been coming to church since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and I learned all my Bible verses, and I did sword drill, and we were doing that thing, and, you know, you guys don't know what I'm talking about, a sword drill. What the heck? Okay, Chris knows. All right, thank you. All right. Are they talking about those people that are typically despised by the long-term members of the church? Those people that just don't really fit in. They come in, they don't really dress right, and they don't really act right, and they say four-letter words sometimes. You're like, that's not how you're supposed to act. Come on. Is that who he's talking about? Or are they the ones that just kind of the barnacles of the church, you know, that just kind of come and mooch off everybody? You know, it's like we just want to take and take and take the handouts, but we really don't want to give back. Maybe that's who Jesus is talking about. Maybe. We want to name them because we don't want it to be us. We want it to be them, those people. But if we're honest, if we're willing to go a little deeper, we have to admit that we're all the 11th hour workers. We've all showed up late to a party that Jesus started a long time before we got here. And we all showed up with no ticket in hand, no earned entrance fee paid by our hard work and our worthiness. We showed up to this party and we've been admitted by God's grace alone. A radical grace that we could never deserve. A radical grace that we could never earn. A radical grace that rubs hard against our sensitivities of what is fair and what is just. You see, this grace of God's is never just. If it were, it wouldn't be grace. Let me put it a little more bluntly. If you are not shocked by grace, if it hasn't made you at least a little bit angry or suspicious, if you haven't once uttered, but it's not fair, then you've never understood God's grace. Because it's not fair. You've never really gotten close enough to feel its sting or to be overwhelmed by the flood of its wonder. But maybe there's something else that Jesus wants us to see here too. You see that phrase, are you envious because I am generous, is literally, as it reads in the King James Version, in the poetry there, is your eye evil? Is your eye evil? So as Wilson notes, he says, the problem is not with the owner's generosity, but with our eyesight, our angle of vision. If we wait long enough, we come to see that the only way we come to know the goodness of God, the only way we can see the goodness of God, is as it is given to others. We can see the goodness of God more clearly in the lives of others, quite simply because they are other than us. Sometimes we're just too close to experience God's grace. Sometimes God is at work in ways that we're just too close to see and we don't even recognize. But when we see it in the life of somebody else, we go, ah, wow, look at what God is doing. This week, Michelle and I rented a movie. One of the things we like to do every once in a while, you know, rent a movie and just stay in for date night. So we rented a movie. Some new ones come out fairly recently called The Good Lie. I don't know if you guys have seen this one, starring Reese Witherspoon. So it's the story of the Lost Boys of Sudan, at least some of them, one family, a few guys. And so the story of these children who escaped the War of Sudan, but only after soldiers had come in and had murdered their family, had destroyed their village. And so these young kids, just barely maybe teenagers, probably not even that old, escaping with their lives. And after they walk hundreds of miles from Sudan to Kenya, they finally get to a refugee camp where it's safe, only to spend 14 years in this refugee camp. Away from home, away from anybody that they know and love, except for the four of them, hoping that one day they'll be cleared to be able to come to the U.S. To have a new life. And so the story centers around these three boys and one girl and this American woman by the name of Carrie Davis. And she works for an employment agency, so her job is after the boys have and the sister have finally gotten to the U.S., she's given the charge of finding them jobs, helping them get meaningful work so that they can stay. And so as the story begins, you get this picture of Carrie, and she's obsessed with her own American life. You know, she's single, and she's, you know, just kind of doing her own thing. And, you know, kind of her house is a mess, and you just recognize, in her this wastefulness and just taking for granted what she has. And so as the story goes on, she begins to see her life through the eyes and through the deep faith of these Sudanese refugees, recognizing the gifts that she has as she begins to experience her own culture and her own world through their eyes, and the newness and the wonder and how much grace they have been shown. And she begins to see her own life in a new way. And the movie's not really explicit about it. It just kind of suggests it, but Carrie begins to look for ways to give back, and she begins to give of herself and of her blessings and of her resources and starts to make herself available for the life of these refugees, and specifically the sister. And the reality is that as she makes these three men and one woman more than just a project for her, she ends up making them part of her family. We begin to see the grace of God oftentimes when we see it through the eyes of others. Maybe that's what this parable is saying. And maybe that's what Jesus is wanting us to get here. That we are all recipients of a grace we did not receive. That we did not deserve. That we received, but we did not deserve. Or as one other commentator put it, we can either take what belongs to us and go, a way of living that cuts us off from true fellowship with God, or we can receive from God what God has so generously chosen to give us. Because the truth is, it doesn't really matter so much when we got here. The point is, we are here. Therefore, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate the grace of the one who has called us. And let us, as a community, begin to model this way of life that we see reflected in the early church. This community of radical generosity. This community of grace where the book of Acts describes no one had need because those who had shared with those who didn't. Is it fair? Maybe. Maybe not. Is it just? Maybe. Maybe not. Is it right? Maybe. Maybe not. Is it generous? You bet. Is it grace? Absolutely. Is it merciful? Without a doubt. Is it love? Yeah. Yeah. And that, brothers and sisters, is the kingdom of heaven. Oh Lord, let it be. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for your radical generosity, your radical grace that you have poured out to us. And even through this little parable, Jesus, we thank you for opening a little window to help us peek into your kingdom, to see that grace, to see that acceptance, to see that love of the Father, that love of the Son who would pour out everything that he had for our forgiveness to reconcile us with the Father. The love of the Spirit that continually flows in and through us, convicting us of sin, guiding us to truth, drawing us to you, shaping us, sanctifying us, making us more like Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Help us not to be focused on the recipient, but on the giver. The giver who has blessed us in ways we could never imagine. Who has blessed us in ways we could never repay. Who has blessed us in ways that we never deserved. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name.